Well, we wanted to talk today a little bit about Hispanic values and some of the cultural aspects of Hispanic life. And I'd like to do that as opposed to the way we think and the way we do things in our own culture. How many of you, let me ask, have some kind of contact with Hispanics? Okay, good. Have you found that sometimes the things they do and the way they act are kind of incomprehensible? They're different. I'm sure you've noticed some difference, and you really wonder why they do some of those things. I've been studying on that for a long time. It takes a while to find out the why. So we won't probably be going into that too much. Perhaps we will when we can, but what I'm interested in this evening is to kind of help you think through how does this impact any relation that you might have, a relationship that you might have with them on the basis of the gospel. How would it impact or help you or hinder you from bringing the gospel to them or for them to respond to the gospel that you are trying to bring to them? Okay, some of the values. I'm just going to read this list here as a kind of, and it's kind of in opposition to one another, and then you can pick out, after I read this list that I have, you might pick out something that you want to discuss, and we'll just talk about it, okay? It's only part of the material that I have that's available for tonight. Okay, in North America, I'll use the word we because I don't see one Hispanic here. Okay, we value things. Hispanics value persons. We value individualism. Hispanics value the family. I should maybe qualify that a little bit because there's another way in which Hispanics value individualism tremendously, but as opposed to authoritarianism, and that's within their own culture. But when we're talking about the kind of individualism that we have in the United States, that's more opposed to their family value. We value time. Hispanics value relation building. We live to work. Hispanics work to live. We are open with our ideas and closed with our feelings. Hispanics are closed with ideas and open with their feelings. We like things orderly. Hispanics resist outside strictures. We value democratic action. Hispanics value authoritarianism. We are direct, confrontational. Hispanics value being non-offensive. We value being aggressive. Hispanics are submissively fatalistic. We value the work ethic. Hispanics value another as a person. Okay, that those are very general statements, and I'm sure that you all understand that in any culture there are a great number of variations. But these are general characteristics of most of the Hispanic cultures. There are also differences between Puerto Ricans and Cubans and Guatemalans and Argentinians and so on. But these are all kind of general things that pretty much characterize their culture. Now, is there anything that you'd like to talk about or any kind of anything you'd like me to elaborate a little bit on? Any one of these? These are some of the very important differences, which I think, as I pointed out last week, which make the integration of the Hispanics into our society, the old concept of the melting pot, to get melted in with the rest of us and come out like one of us, thinking the same way and acting more or less the same way, make it very much more difficult than for people of Northern Europe, for instance, who who speak our language on the one hand and also have much more similarity in the cultural, in their different cultures, so that it isn't so difficult. There, behind that is a whole concept of time, for one thing. But basically, what you are noticing is the difference between our zeroing in on things, on programs, rather than on persons. To give you an example, on one Sunday, one afternoon in El Salvador, I visited a North American family. I went to call them. I had made an appointment with them previously. After about 10 minutes, you know, I could sense that they were kind of antsy and sitting on the edge of their seats. After about 10 minutes, they said, "Well, Pastor, you'll have to excuse us. We have to go. We have another commitment that we have to go to." So I said, "Okay," goodbye, and left. No real problem, you know, you understand that in our culture. So I went down the street a ways and visited another family, a Latin family, a Salvadoran family. He was a doctor, and I talked to them, and I talked to them, and I talked to them for about 2 hours. Very, very friendly, very hospitable, and very open about talking about whatever we talked about. Later on, I found out that that doctor had had an appointment at the time that I came to their house. But because they value persons more than things, he missed his appointment for whatever he had to do in order to play the host and entertain me for as long as I wanted to be there. And there was never a hint. There was no way that I could feel that they were anxious about leaving or you know, like the Americans were. Okay. Now, I think that's a difference. What's, huh? Yeah, I know. We have the same problem in church, okay? Now, one of the things about the time, too, that you need to understand, we say they are mañana people, but time, for them, if you say, come at 10 o'clock, 10 o'clock runs all the way from 10 to 11. And at any point, 60 points in there, that's still 10 o'clock, even if it's 10:59. When they got there, they have gotten there at 10 o'clock. It's within that time frame. See, and we think of 10 o'clock as a point. Now it's 10 o'clock, and now it's 5 seconds after 10 o'clock. So that concept of time also plays in. Okay.
But what about the person that the doctor had an appointment with? How would he feel?
Well, he was part of the culture. He understood that perfectly. They make another appointment and discuss whatever they had to discuss afterwards at a different time. Well, my feeling, I guess I can express by the fact that while we were in Texas at the last years of in the 70s and early 80s, I joined a group that got together specifically to fight for bilingual education. It was a piece of legislature coming up before the Texas state, and Texas was, I think, the last state to open up its schools to bilingual education. And for the very reasons that you stated, that the children are often, they are so far behind because they don't understand. They have come over from Mexico, particularly in Texas, come over from Mexico when they're already older. And they have to jump into an English language school, and they just simply can't grasp it, or it takes them so long that they get so far behind that by the time they're gone through the eighth grade, they might be 16 or 17 years old. And it causes all kinds of problems and a lot of dropouts. Okay. In Texas, when the law finally went through, and it only went through because of a decision of a federal judge, what they did was, while they were teaching the children in bilingual education, they were giving them special classes in English in the morning and afternoon in many schools. And they would get an hour in the morning, an hour in the afternoon of English language as a second language. And most of the kids in a year or a year and a half were able to handle English well enough to keep up with the class, especially if they were in the lower grades. Well, that was the big thing, but the point was they were going to have a lot more kids come in, undocumented children coming into school that way. And so for every child that came into school, they got a certain amount of money from the government, and actually it turned out that they were not losing money at all. The school systems were breaking even on that. Yeah, that was a big fear, though. Yes?
I think the violence...
I'm sorry, you had your hand up before already that you wanted to say something.
I was going to say...
Okay, that's a problem for some areas, and in some areas of Texas it was a problem, too. Like around Houston, they had a lot more Asians than in some other areas.
And the ESL works so beautifully.
Yeah. So, but that's an additional thing that has to be worked out in the school district, I'm sure. Yeah. I'm going to say something about that mañana thing, too, in a moment. That's one of the important misunderstandings that we have about Hispanic culture. Okay. I just want to point out one thing here that I said we are direct and very confrontational, and while Hispanics are non-offensive. That carries them to the point of they will tell a lie to you because they think that's what you want to hear and they don't want to offend you. It's not because they don't think lies are wrong, but the other value has greater impact for them, that it's more important to build a relationship and keep a relationship with you, keep you on a friendly basis with them, than it is to tell the truth. Okay? Now, we're just the opposite, particularly if we're Lutherans. Okay? The truth all the time. And we have our own idea of what it means to tell the truth. And in a sense, very often, after a few years, I got to the point where I could tell when somebody said, well, yes, I'll come to church Sunday, you know, whether that meant yes or meant no. You could kind of tell, okay, after a while. So there, it wasn't always just lying, but on the surface of it looked like a bald-faced lie. You know, and at first you thought, well, they said they were coming, and look, they didn't come. You know, they promised and they didn't keep their promise. But they were telling me, and I just wasn't picking up on it, I'm not coming. But, you know, I'm sure that you would think that you are thinking that you would like to have me there, so I'll tell you I'll be there. Okay, were the people from the World Prayer Mission also in Mexico? Okay, this is very tentative, okay, and because the Mexican culture has some elements that are quite different than in many of the other Latin American countries. There's a very strong element of fatalism, okay, and submissiveness. But tentatively, I would say probably their seminary training changed them to the point that they thought they were going to live in Mexico as pastors the way pastors live in the United States, and that they were looking also from the viewpoint of the work ethic, you know, that you work to live and not that you live to work, that somehow there was going to be some kind of support of them because they had been trained by the church and that the church was therefore going to take care of them, whether or not they had success, okay, brought in numbers, and they probably told you, right? Because that's what you wanted to hear. Yeah. See, but you weren't hearing them then. When they asked for another 10, then you didn't understand why they were asking for another 10, or what was going on. Well, maybe so and maybe not, you know. It depends on whether the gospel got out, because that's one of the things that maybe I'm going to enter into on Thursday morning, is there some new direction that we can go in Hispanic ministry? than we have in the past. And I think so. I haven't had the opportunity to test it out myself, but I think there is a different way. And one of the things that's involved there is that you're not trying to plant churches. Okay. They probably had the mentality here, we're here to preach the gospel, not to build Lutheran churches. And you are expecting Lutheran churches to grow up, congregations, and continue to grow. I'd like to talk a little bit about time, because one of the great misconceptions about Hispanics is the whole idea of this mañana thing, that they always put off for tomorrow what you don't have to do today. Now, that's a North American way of talking, and I don't think that belongs in the Hispanic culture. It's true that they very often, it looks like to us, they're putting things off. Here's one of the things, one of the differences. We live by the clock. I was just, before supper, one man was out there, and he was checking his watch with everybody, and mine was different than his, and everybody's was different than his, and he said, we ought to synchronize our watches here, you know. Well, that's very North American, right? You live by the clock, and we do here at Holden Village, too. That bell rings, you know, inexorably. But Hispanics are much more relaxed about time, okay? And it's expressed even in the language. In English, we say our clock runs. It's running fast or it's running slow, right? In Spanish, a clock walks. Okay? And that's kind of very expressive of the difference that they have between time, okay? 2 hours late, the thing. It's all right. That's no problem. One of our mission doctor that came to Guatemala was invited out to a supper, and they said 8 o'clock. Supper would be at 8. He got there just at 8, and the hostess hadn't even taken her bath yet. Okay. And so he sat around until 9, and got to be 10, and he got to be 11. And he said, finally, we ate about 11:30, 11:45 at night. Okay. But he was there. And nobody, you know, could even take care of them because things weren't ready. It's just a different way of understanding. You have to learn to understand that if you're dealing with Hispanics. They'll come in late. Very often the church starts, they'll come in late. Sometimes if you wait five, you say, well, this time I'll wait 5 minutes. Well, they still come in late. You say, next time, well, I'll wait 10 minutes. They'll still come in late. It's just a different way of thinking about time and how important time is to them. Now, we're very much future-oriented, okay, in our society. We're so future-oriented that we make arrangements for what's going to happen when we die. You know, that might be 20 years in the future. And funeral homes are doing that, right, you know. Set up all your plans, you know, and it'd be all guaranteed at a certain price. Well, that kind of appeals to us, to a lot of people in the United States, because that's the way we are. We're future-oriented. But Hispanics are oriented really to the present moment. Another example about future orientation, I remember my wife and I talk about that so much. Remember when these great big curlers came out? And women to walk around with these curlers and sometimes have a bandana on. I remember in Time magazine there was a little kind of a little piece in there that was a little sarcastic, but it said, these women are always wearing these curlers. Wherever they go, you see women with curlers. And it looks like they always have something, some place to go that's more important where they are right now. Okay? That's future thinking in the future, okay? We're always thinking in the future. We're always projecting. We make plans for 5 years, for 10 years, for 15 years. What was it we were just reading about 50 years down the line? Somebody's making plans for something. Okay. The Hispanics don't look at it that way. For them, the past is something that has gone. It's a reality, it's back there, but it's there. It's not, it really doesn't impinge on you too much now. The future is something that's indecisive. You don't know what it's going to be or when it's going to happen or how it's going to affect you. So the thing to do is to live for the moment. Okay? That's why, for instance, tied in with the work ethic, a Hispanic, say, a couple that's out picking in the orchards, they may make good money picking. They may make, in a month, $2,000-$3,000, okay? 15 days later, they may not have any of that money. They bought a stereo, they bought a new car, they did this and they did that with their money. Because you work to live, all of that money is earned so that you can enjoy life. And also because they're living in the present. They don't know what the future will bring. You don't put that money aside and save it. Don't put it in the bank. Because, well, any number of things can happen. But the future can take care of itself. And I think for a lot of them, there's an element of Christian faith in this, too. That they say, like the woman who gave her two mites that Jesus told about, you know. She gave two mites. She could have kept one to feed herself and her children the next day. But she didn't think of that. That wasn't her way of thinking. She threw both of them in trust in the Lord that tomorrow the Lord is going to provide. And there's something good about that, I think, in the Hispanic culture. But that's the way they are. They really are not mañana people. They really don't say, I'll leave it till tomorrow, because even though I might be able to do it today. They actually are very much more immediate about doing things. I've seen some of them that if somebody comes to their house and they're busy doing something like fixing a car or something like that, somebody comes and say, I have a problem, they'll drop everything and go with immediately to help him out. Whereas we might be likely to say, well, that's not really an emergency, I'll come over this evening, because I'm busy here doing this job. Okay. Exactly. One lady, as an example, I remember one lady in Honduras was working in the tobacco fields one year, and she made, well, let's say $3 a day, okay, minimum wage. And the next year, because the workers were kind of scarce, the owner of the tobacco company wanted to pay the pickers, well, let's say $5 a day. Okay. Well, she only worked the amount of time that would have taken her to earn the equivalent of $3 a day over that long period. So that, say, instead of working 3 months, she only worked two. At the end of 2 months, she said, I'm quitting. Well, why are you quitting? The work isn't finished. She has said, I have all that I need. This is all that I need to earn. And so I'm quitting, you know. I'm not working for the sake of work. I'm not working because I want to earn a lot more money. I'm working because of my need. I don't think you'd find many Americans doing something like that. That's not true of them all, but basically they are not oriented toward money as we are, you know, in the same way. What you were saying there too, you know, about the reciprocal thing, that's up to a point. See, part of our culture here too is that we try and change other people. We try and make them conform to what we are. Now, Hispanics don't do that. They accept you as you are, okay? So that if you expect them to come on time, they're thinking, she's going to accept me the way I am, because that's the way I accept her, okay? So if I come late, it's not going to make any difference. But only after they get to know you and then make some adjustment on their own would they respond and say, well, okay, we'll see to it that we're there at 6 o'clock and not At 9, okay. Yeah, I have
and
done.
That, and that's, I mean, that's fits in yeah. the Hispanic culture the same way. I think that's really important to learn.
I had it down like this. The past is a spent reality, and the future an unrealized hope. But it says, in picture language, it says it much clearer, okay? Same thing. And there's another aspect to that, okay? And that is a difference in our worldview that we have. We are very much moved by the idea that man can do just about anything. I remember when the first man walked on the moon, I read a quote from Werner von Braun, a Lutheran. He's German, and he was living over here and working on the space program. And he said, now man can do anything he wants to, given the time and the money. Now, to me, that's an expression of a kind of humanism, a kind of centering in on what man is, and man is more important even than God. For the Hispanic, and I think this is one great value that we can learn from them, for the Hispanic, everything in life, the whole gamut of life, I don't care what you talk about or what you mention, going to the bathroom or anything else, is tied up with religion, with the church somehow, with the way he thinks. And so he sees the future. He's not worried about planning for the future. He kind of takes things as they come, because God is in charge of the future. And God is going to take care of me. And I live under his control and under his mercy. See, God takes care of me. And they express that, I think, with the phrase, I have faith in God. You hear that all the time. By the way, they're very much more open about talking about their religion and their faith than we are. You know, you can strike up a conversation on that in no time flat. And they'll open themselves up to some degree on that. Not so much the men, but that does happen. But it's God who is there. You know, he's got the future in his hand. So they're what we call theocentric, while we're anthropocentric. Okay, they put God in the center, and we kind of put man in the center. We tend to do that. Not so much in the church, perhaps. I hope not. I hope we haven't been so imbued by our human outlook in our culture that we've forgotten that God really is at the center. And that's one of the things that I really appreciate among the Hispanics, and it's refreshing to hear that over and over again, and because that supports your own faith. But so they're not lazy, like, which is another misconception that we have, a stereotype. You know, the Mexican with his hat pulled over his head, sitting down under a cactus plant. You know, resting. They're not lazy; they work hard, and they work much harder than we, in proportion to their health, the state of their health, and the amount of physical and material goods that they have to work with. You know. To give you one more example of that. No example. Well, let me just say it. One man and his son wanted to pick apples one year, and they worked for 8 days, and they filled 8 of these great big bins, okay, between the two of them. The Hispanics were picking 8 bins a day and working longer hours. And he said, after 8 days, we quit because we just couldn't take it anymore. And they do that day after day after day after day for a month and month and a half during the picking season. So they work, you know, they work hard. It's not that they're afraid of work, but they do put things into the hands of God.